Ever wondered what it would be like to race alongside your swimming idols at the world-renowned London Aquatic Centre? Well, this is your chance. Entries are now open for the AP Race London International, held between the 25th and 27th of May in what promises to be one of the biggest UK swim events this year. Tickets are on sale now, starting at the incredible price of just £1, and you can purchase these over at event.aprace.club. So if you feel like watching or even racing and meeting some of the best swimmers on the planet, be sure to get your tickets or sign up to race now. Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host Scott, and no Dan with me this week. I am flying solo because Dan has still not got internet since he moved house. But that doesn't mean that we can't bring you an amazing final guest as we head towards British Swimming Championships, which are now just less than 2 weeks away. So on this week's podcast, I am speaking to University of Bath swimmer Jono Adams, and speaking about the training camp that he's just been on over in Australia, the performances of last season, and potentially what he's capable of doing at this year's trials in the 100 meters backstroke. So let's jump straight into this week's episode. You've just got back from Australia training camp. Taper is now here around the corner, but how was the camp? How did it go?
No, Australia is the life. We're there literally just to swim, staying in amazing apartments. You're looking over the coast. You can see everything. It's literally just just training, and that is it. There is zero distractions there. As nice as the Instagram pictures that people will see, like, you are there just to train, really, and like, there is no distractions when you're out there. You know, suddenly we are walking 10,000 steps a day to from the pool so many times. Just swimming outdoors, I think that kick just gives you so much. It is unbelievable.
Is that why you go to a training camp so far away? Because it's not like an obvious place to go when you think you take out the time of travel. Suddenly that's out of your training routine. The jet lag, that's going to be taken into account as well. But You're in a warm environment where like the hours are so different that there's literally, you struggle to contact anyone back home, I would imagine.
You do find ways to contact home at the end, but it's just you're all in Australia. You just have to literally just, you're there to swim, like, full time. No one in Bath, like, I'm not going to see anyone, like, you're there to basically get the shift, get the 30 out of 30 sessions all on course, get them all in, get them banked. And I think when you know you've done all of that, and like, it's just, you're getting kicked down, yeah, like, every single time. Yeah, it is just unbelievable.
So,
yeah.
So what was the main focus of that training block for you over in Australia?
Wait, I do actually have the block down. It was an anaerobic, basically, overload. So it was kind of, we would have five key sessions in the week. So it'd be basically one a day bar the weekend. And you're just getting beaten down every single session. It gets to a point where you're like, the end of the camp, you're just so tired. You're like, oh, we're in Australia. I'm just so tired. You're like, just trying to recover. But yeah, it was just, so a lot of tolerance, a lot of production.
Okay.
But yeah, it was getting that loaded in. So yeah.
Give us an example of like what a single day looked like at Australia training camp.
What day? I guess just Monday. So I don't know. I was with Ed and Matt Ward. So we are still all together. So you wake up in the morning, I don't know, have a coffee or have breakfast. Then you'd get in the lift, walk down to the pool. So that'd be like a 10-15 minute walk, like kind of, and you'd see like the beach and like walk across. That'd be really nice. And then we'll do pre-pool in the morning. Make sure our ranges, just because as you get beaten so much, like your range, like your mobility and all that would just get crushed. So
okay,
it just wouldn't injury with that. It was so important. So we'd have that, and then Monday morning would probably be long warm up, aerobic. I think, yeah, depending on who you are, you may have power or not. Okay.
So when you're talking power, it's like bungee ropes or pulley, the weighted destro towers.
So it's kind of a mixture. So you may start off with resisted. So you'll go, let's just say, 1 week it's 12 resisted efforts and then 8 assisted. So you'll do all the resistance pulling you back, and then the assisted, like making you go faster. So
the overload, yeah.
Yeah, so you may have fins, you may not. And then obviously, let's say in taper, you may get rid of the resisted and then do that. But then you'd have gym after. It is quite so nice of doing gym topless. Like, as nice as it is.
Can do that here.
Can't do that here. Gym topless just outdoors, like with the speaker and everything. That's like really good. And that's just going, we're kind of like on the one rep max is like over there and okay. Going for like peak strength. Go back home, well, back to the apartment. Lunch, and then we got the graveyard shift like session, so we then wouldn't train till maybe like 6 till 8 at the evening, so you'd be under the floodlights. And Monday night I think is production, so that production set, and then go back home, and then depending on the day we all may like get together, play poker or something in the apartment. Nice. So yeah, long-winded way to answer, but yeah, that was.
No, it's just interesting to know what actually goes on one of these camps. If I'm right in thinking, the camp itself was kind of pushed back in the usual sort of time frame that you guys had out there, just because of some swimmers competing over at Worlds.
Yeah,
which it kind of means that you're heading into these trials without very little race prep. In the sense of you weren't at Edinburgh International, which I know is usually a meet that you guys would have attended. So what have you been doing to combat that like lack of in-season racing? Is it a lot of stand-ups when you're out there?
So January we did the Flanders meet.
Yep.
So we did that, and then Australia, we were looking at meets to doing there. So it was either, are we going to compete the first weekend we're there? Not really, because still getting over everything. And then there was the weekend we left, there was a competition in Brisbane, so it was like, what are we gonna do. But every week there's competitions at the pool with schools, so they have the facilities to put time pads in, so they basically that we can do. And they basically manage into the sessions, timing pads, and speakers. So we've just done that. And thing is though, let's say Edinburgh, you have to travel away.
Okay.
Let's say you're racing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm going to leave Wednesday. I'm not going to train. You're not going to train all the days because you're racing really. So we've just done it around us. And what's worked, like, we didn't stop training or anything in the stand-ups. So let's say I did it on a Wednesday, you do a heat, dive in a heat at 9, next race at 9:40. So it was just back to back race, but if anything, like.
So do you take more confidence heading into trials from, it sounds like a training block and getting that under your belt more than a race and knowing what sort of times you can hit in season?
Yeah, like, in-season racing, like, anyone could be anywhere, like, in-season racing. You could say it's not a fair race, because I could be rested in season and go amazing. I could be absolutely knackered and not swim well, but it just depends on the athlete, really. So, you know, if you race well, you race well. If you don't, you don't. But I think you have to take everything with, a pinch of salt, say. It just depends on the athlete, really, how well you are in season.
So how's the squad as a whole looking after Australia? Less about yourself. How's everyone else looking?
They're all looking tan, but I'm not really that tan. But no, I think everyone's come back, confident and happy with what they've done. this year. There's been like no injuries in ours squad. Everyone enjoying it and yeah, back tapering. So like, especially in tapers, you remove the, one of the key aims in taper, they always go is like improve the mood state. Mm-hmm. So like everyone now is just like going off the high of Australia. Like you can bring it in.
Okay.
So yeah.
It must be quite, you're in this weird situation where taper and improving the mood state is actually helping your rivals when you go into trials, because there's a lot of backstrokers at Bath. Somehow they've all congregated there. And whether you like it or not, you're going to be racing against your teammates in London.
No, yeah.
So do relationships change in taper, or is it more like it's still a team at the end of the day?
I'd say at the end of the day, like we go out, we hang out quite a lot, if anything. I live with Brody and Cam anyway.
Okay.
So, and like, we just, you're not really going to go, oh, how, you're going to do awful, you're going to do so well. Or like, you don't really mention trials or anything like that. Like,
yeah, sure.
We'll talk about it, but I mean, we don't really change. Like, okay, we know it's there, but everyone knows.
It's good to hear. Like I said, it is a weird situation that you've got so many all in one squad.
No, well, thing is, I'm in Dave's, and technically the only other backstroker I have is Matt, and then he doesn't really do my 100 training. As like, he does 200, like, and 100, but he'll kind of, he has his IM as well, so I'm kind of, in my squad alone, I'm the only backstroker, you know, like, specific backstroker 100, so I get it.
So last summer then, a big confidence builder for you heading into Olympic year was the LEM under 23. So you came away with two golds, a 53.45 hundred back, which means you're kind of heading into trials as the second fastest man in Britain in the event. So where did that swim come from and what went right to hit that PB?
I think, well, it started from trials and basically last year's Australia camp. So last year in December I went a 53.9, and that was the first time I went 53, and I was like, okay, that's really good in December. Then go to Australia last year and come back, and like my skin folds just went through. It was the first time I've ever really been away on a camp. So like skin folds went through the roof, and it's just learned, like obviously, I've done this year, like, took it on very differently. However, like, I guess I had my eating and lifestyle there last year that affected trials. Because then when I got back in Australia, I then got injured. Okay. So my skin folds went up, shoulder got injured. And then going into Edinburgh, I pulled out on the last two or three days because I then got ill in, like, my upper respiratory systems. Okay. So then going into the trials, I had, I think it was like six, so it was like undisturbed training. So I didn't train because of my shoulder for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then illness hit me right before. So then going into trials last year, I think it was a 54.3 or 50, it was 54 low. So then I missed out. So it was like, I've just gone 53.9 in December, and then trials, I've gone that. And then I've been, then I missed Worlds. So I was like, missed it. And then Dave, basically, we sat down. Okay, I've made under 23s. What went wrong? Well, shoulder injury, skin folds went up, illness. Like, and then basically from trials to under 23s, it was probably one of the first times I've actually not been disturbed in training. Because I think quite a few years in Bath, I've had shoulder problems and haven't trained. So it's kind of just a shift in using the staff around.
Okay.
So if it's talking to the physio a lot more, is it getting a massage twice a week just to settle off my shoulder or something like that? And it was working with the nutritionist, working with all the support stuff around, because I think that really learned how to, that kick, like the kick in the ass kind of taught me how to use all the staff around. So I think that's where the swim came from. after the disappointment of trials, learning how to, okay, I should probably take everything a bit more seriously. And then the consistency in training.
Okay.
That, I would say it came from just the consistency. So, yeah.
So one point you said then that I'd love to touch upon is
your
skin folds went through the roof. So
by
that, what you mean is like your body composition and you were in the best shape you've ever been in.
Yeah.
Like, is that a, it's almost like a measurable confidence builder for you, I guess. And I guess that there's so many negative press about skin fold and everything like that, but I guess that's the positive outcome that can come from it.
Yeah, sat down with a nutritionist, like open, honestly, look, why, like, what's this?
Okay.
And then it's just like getting a plan in place. So if it's every single day, red, amber, green for foods, or is it sitting down saying this, is it still saying how do we prioritize the session, even like don't prioritize swimming well, like over everything. So yeah, I think just it was just open conversations with the nutritionist and like using him to his full ability and buying in. I think you can I'm gonna do this. Like, are you actually gonna do it? Like, I think buying in like was a massive thing. So I think from what I am now to last year, I think I was like 15 higher than I am like now.
Okay.
I, like, even after European short course this year, I went away and then I came back and I was still, and then I came back heavier. So it's just like learning about yourself and like buying in. So yeah, definitely.
So is that how you repeat your performance from under 23s? It is the buy-in for the 2023-24 season that more out of the pool than in the pool, it sounds like.
No, yeah. I'd say going into the season with Dave, I think we talked about like race models, because at under 23s, I went out in a 25.3.
Okay.
I think that would have been second or third at Worlds.
Yeah.
So it's talk about like my race plan, like lifestyle outside of pool with the nutritionist. How do I have a season in Bath where I don't have any shoulder problems? How do I stay busy? It was just going into this season, how do you just utilize everyone support staff wise? So I think that is the best way. So yeah.
So is that going to be your tactics heading into trials then, taking that out hard?
I think we've definitely spoken about like our strengths and not, but I think it gets, so what was it, 25.3 and then back in a body bag. I think it definitely isn't come back in a body bag. Like if you go out 0.2 slower, you can gain 0.something. So like in December this year in Rotterdam, we played around with, oh, if I go out at 26.3, I came back at 27.3.
Okay.
So I think we're like, you know, we have the race model, we have target time to 15, target time to 35. So it's just guessing that. If I can go out a certain time, but if my, so I think at under 23s, my stroke rate, it was 60 on like the first few lengths on the first 50. Whereas now in training, we're doing front end at 52 rate, 50 rate. So I feel a lot more connected. So it's being able to come off to the turn and not die. Why not build through? Why not go? Like, why not accelerate in
instead of just
coming back, going out silly fast, and dying?
It's interesting. It almost sounds like, I don't know, the cliche way to build the back end is almost train for the 200, but actually it feels like you're just not slowing yourself down, but you're just being more sensible about how you're racing rather than overtraining the distance, because you're not racing the two at trials, are you?
No. I did it last, like, I've done it a bit, but I've just never gone out fast enough. I've always just been a
two-back's not fun. Two-back's hard.
No, yeah, I've just never suited, and I'm all in on the 100, so
yeah,
maybe next year for fun or something like that. But
I tell you, there's nothing fun about a two-back. It's a leg killer, that one is.
I've stayed away from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we said heading into trials, you're the second fastest man on paper. Obviously, the fastest man heading in is Ollie Morgan. And so far this season, in season, he's been cranking out 53s for fun. Do you take any notice of what else is going on in Britain?
I think obviously you hear everything, but I think it's like, I think if someone says football, someone can go slide tackle your legs. In swimming, no one can come into your lane and start slide tackling you or taking you away. So at the end of the day, everyone has their own lane. No one's gonna come into my lane. No one is gonna slide tackle me out of the way. It's literally just me swimming. Great times. He is a great swimmer. But I'm not going to go into his lane and just slide, or he's not going to, it is just your own race. And I think you have to remember that. So as well as everyone is swimming, it is just your own race.
I like that. That's a really neat metaphor for concentrating on yourself, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Bar Cam and Brody really slide tackling you in the corridor of your house. There's no chance of that ever happening, really.
Yeah.
I like it. So heading into trials then, when or what does your taper look like from intensity dropping? What are you guys doing over the next few weeks?
I think, we get given three, on the weekly plan, or every time, there's Dave will go, remove the fatigue, hold the gains, improve the mood state. His job is, Dave will go, it's his job to hold on to the gains in the sessions and to remove the fatigue. That is Dave. And then swimmers, improve our mood state. So everything comes, in taper, you're not going to go up in speed effort suddenly, because if you take away, everything, if we're going to taper, you're not gonna suddenly start doing more efforts. So you do a little bit of race pace, just lock-ins, good feeling, but I think everything just gets cut, so it is just a lot, very good.
So what's the result you're aiming for at trials, bar the obvious? The obvious is you want to make the Olympic team. But what else is a result you're looking for? In yourself, what would be a good outcome?
I think the best outcome would be just to swim the race. No, swim my own race in a way. Mm. With how much we've trained, the new, race tactic, going a certain rates out, and then coming back in a certain rate. If I can hit my front end and the back end, specific keys for myself, going the specific race tactics that we tried, and I think that's probably the main aim, how well have I executed the plan. So I think if I execute the plan, then it'll be a really good race. So
absolutely, we're really looking forward to it. It's a race we have highlighted for a very long time, actually, in terms of just not sheer drama, but just a depth has suddenly come through in the past 24 months, 12 months.
So I think last Olympic trials, I was in the final. I think a 55 made the final.
Yeah, I don't think
I think I was lane 7. Okay. Last Olympic trials, and that was a 55. And so it's that's not going to happen this year.
No, a leap has been made. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jono, we usually finish these podcasts with some quick fire questions. I know you're prepared. You know they're coming, so I'll fire them straight at you. What's your favorite event in swimming?
100 back.
Easy.
The 50, my rate just is silly. I can't do it.
Who's your swimming idol?
Okay, I actually didn't get that one.
You're not prepared for this one.
I always remember London. So okay. I didn't really watch much Rio. I watched in Tokyo. I watched some of the boys I swim with. But London, you have to go. I remember Chad's dad, if anything.
Yeah.
Came after. Obviously Phelps as well. So I think they're like the... Chad. Chad and Phelps, probably. Nice. Just London. I think that was the most iconic.
What's your proudest moment in swimming so far?
I know it's probably weird to say it, like, under 23 is not really, like, it's probably like my first medal when I was, like, at Cambridge. Okay. No one really ever met, like, medals from Cambridge, like, on the training I was doing. I think I was, like, my first nationals, I've just won a national gold. Like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. So, whereas at under 23s, I expected to do well. When I was younger, I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm so good. But that was like, so when I was younger, like, you obviously think you're like the best swimmer in the world, but you're not.
Do you get to go back to Cambridge much?
No. I think the last time I went there was like last Christmas.
Okay.
And it was like 100-100s, so Christmas challenge set. But yeah.
And I haven't been back since.
No.
That says enough. Like,
we get so little time off now. When I'm home, I'll just be at home.
Nice. What's the hardest set you've ever done?
I wouldn't say 100-100s because I find the distance is more fatiguing. It's not hard. I would just say a set from Australia. It was the set when we joined up with the Australian lot.
I saw the photo.
That was the most memorable session. It was just 20/50s, long course, best average. There you go.
On what sort of turnaround were you going?
2 minutes, I think.
Okay.
Can't really remember. But I remember Kaylee McEwen beat me on everything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
If I had money, I'd bet she'd break the world record. Oh my God. I've seen her push at, after the 2050s, a 59. After 2050s, basically max. And it's like, you just pushed a 59 low, and that was impressive. Probably been our trials for FEMA. And it's like, but no, that set was probably the most memorable just because, I don't know, as a sprinter, doing 2050s, Jono, don't go all in to begin with, just make it through. But that was probably the most memorable set. So.
Oh man, sounds awesome. Like, she's just gone like a 57 point, hasn't she? Like, the weekend before. Just nuts. Yeah. And if you had to go on a road trip, there's three spaces in the car. It gets to know you a little bit away from a swimming pool. Who would you take with you? You can take friends, family, celebrities, anyone you want.
I've always said I wouldn't do friends or family because I can go with them whenever.
Okay, like it. I get the logic.
So, it would either be, I wrote down my favourite films and actors. So it's either going to be Ben Stiller or Adam Sandler. Just because
comedian.
The film. So... yeah, Ben Stiller, Adam Sandler, and I've said a Chelsea player, so Drogba.
Nice. Oh, Dan's going to be annoyed he missed this one. He's a big Chelsea fan, and he actually got to sit next to Drogba on the London 2012 torch relay.
So jealous.
There's a photo of him somewhere with him. So he's already had a road trip with Drogba.
I'm so jealous. That's so good.
So Jono, thank you so much for coming on to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. It's been great to talk through Australia, Elian under 23s, and best of luck for trials, which are 2 weeks time. Really looking forward to it. Best of luck and see you in London.
Thank you very much. See you soon.
So that just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. Thank you so much for Jono for joining me, and thank you so much for everyone who's listened to this week's episode, sticking with just me flying solo. It's been a bit of a weird experience for me. It's been a long time since I've not had my sidekick on this show. But fear not, Dan will definitely be back one way or another, as next week we bring you our big trials preview. We're going to be taking you through day by day, event by event, able-bodied swimmers, para swimmers. We're going to cover it all. The top seeds, who you need to pay attention to, and some maybe wild predictions as we head into British Swimming Championships 2024 and start counting down now to the Paris Olympics. So if you haven't subscribed already, now is the time to do so on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And I will see you guys next week.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.